Turn back to Genesis chapter 17. Walter Gruver died this Thursday, and I love that man dearly. He's been such a blessing to me. I think that he is, in my mind, no man has ever been used by the Lord more than this simple, faithful man, Walter Gruver. I think that he's probably, if people were writing biographies of the great missionaries, I think that he would be right up there with the greatest of them. And I'm very thankful that the Lord has privileged us to be a part of having the privilege of supporting in this man as being a missionary. I've entitled this message, Be Thou Perfect. Be thou perfect. The Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Now that word perfect is translated 44 times without blemish. It's translated without spot, whole, complete. It means perfect. You know, how many times have you said or you heard somebody else say, I'm not perfect. I didn't know that. Thanks for telling me. The Lord says, and this is not relative, be thou perfect, sound, wholesome, unimpaired, innocent, guiltless, without fault, what is complete and entirely in accord with truth and fact. Be thou perfect. This is not a relative term. Be thou perfect. Now let me ask you a question. Can the Lord expect anything less? We read in Leviticus 22:21, it shall be perfect to be accepted. There shall no blemish be therein. God could require no less. But listen to this. Everything he requires, he provides. If he requires you to be perfect, and that's required of every believer, everyone who comes into his presence, if he requires perfection out of you, you know what? He provides that perfection. I think of Isaac going up the mount with his dad Abraham and said, here's the fire, here's the wood, where's the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham replied, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. There's nothing you could provide, but God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. Now look how the Lord appears to Abraham. And when Abram was 99 years old. Now 13 years have passed between Genesis 16 and Genesis 17. And we don't know where the Lord said anything to Abraham during this time. Perhaps he did, but 13 years have passed between Genesis 16 and Genesis 17. And now the Lord appears to Abraham. Now, this was a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ. Somebody says, what's that mean? That means he appeared before he became flesh. He became flesh 2,000 years ago. Before that, he made many appearances. And this is an appearance that he made toward Abraham. Now understand this. If you're going to know the Lord, he's going to first have to appear to you. You know something I'm very thankful for? The Lord's arm of grace is very long. You can't be so sunk down into sin and unbelief that he can't reach you and me. Somebody you love, they can't be too far gone for his arm of grace to reach down and speak to them. He appears. He is the Lord who appears. And I pray that he will appear to me and make himself known to me. And I pray that he will make himself known to you. Aren't you thankful the Lord appears? We'd never know him and be happy to not know him. Did he not appear to us? The Lord appeared, made himself known. He showed himself to Abraham. And what did he do? He said unto him, I am the Almighty God. God omnipotent. God Almighty. Now, I hope we can learn something about what that means this morning, but I know this. If he appears to you, if he appears to me, he will appear as God Almighty. El Shaddai. That's the first time this word is used with regard to the living God. God Almighty. John put it this way in Revelation 19, verse 6. Hallelujah. The Lord God omnipotent. Same thing. All powerful. Now, if God appears to me and you, he's going to appear as all powerful. Absolutely sovereign. With the power to perform whatever it is he wills. Now, God is the only independent being. You think about how dependent you are, how dependent I am. You know that breath, last breath you took? It was because God willed it. And if God shut your lungs down, you won't breathe and you'll die. You're completely dependent upon him for everything. He is independent. That's what is meant by him being almighty. He has no needs. He said, if I were hungry, I wouldn't tell you. He is not worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything. He certainly doesn't need me. And he does not need you. He doesn't need you to make him happy, to fulfill him, to complete him. He is utterly independent, the only independent being. I love Psalm 62, verse 11. God hath spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto the Lord. He has a monopoly on it. He has all power. I want you to remember, the next time you hear about a powerful man or a powerful woman, there's no such thing. The Lord is the only one who has power. And every man, woman, boy, and girl is a pawn in his hand, doing his will, doing his purpose. Power belongeth. I like that, don't you? I love that. power, omnipotence, God Almighty, power belongeth unto the Lord. He's infinite in power. He has no limitation. No power is greater than His. Omnipotent. Power. I am God Almighty. Now, all of His attributes would be meaningless without His omnipotence, wouldn't they? This is why if you know Him as God Almighty. If you don't know Him as God Almighty, you don't know Him at all. This is His revelation of Himself, El Shaddai, God Almighty. What would His decrees be if He didn't have the power to make them come to pass? What would His will be if He didn't have the power to make His will come to pass? What would His wrath be if He didn't have the power to execute it? What would His salvation be if He does not have the power to save everybody He intends to save? His omnipotence is non-communicable. What's that mean? It means He's the only one who has it, and it is not communicated to me or you. He only is Almighty. He can do anything that's not contrary to His will or to His nature. I love what Abraham, or what the Lord said to Abraham. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord? He can do anything that's not contrary to His will or His nature. Lord God Almighty. I am Almighty God. Now this is demonstrated, first of all, by creation. With no pre-existing matter, He created the universe as an act of His omnipotence by His own sovereign will. Now you can only have two views. You can either believe that God created the universe, or you can believe something else. Somehow it just happened. But let me remind you, if God didn't create the universe, this life is meaningless. This is all random. It's just a cosmic accident. There's really not a right and wrong. Who's to say? Somebody says, well, I stand for what's right. Who's to say what's right or wrong if there is no God? But God created the universe as an act of His omnipotence with no pre-existing... there was nothing. All there was God. And He spake, and the universe was brought into existence. What power. And you know what? It wasn't difficult for Him. He didn't get tired after this creation. Now, the next way God's omnipotence is seen, I am God Almighty, it's seen in His providence. What is providence? Everything that takes place in time. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Everything that happens in time, and let me repeat, everything that happens in time, did so because He willed it. Everything. Somebody says, are you making God the author of evil? You know, philosophers talk about the problem of evil. The problem of evil. Kind of like, you know, how could God exist if he... It's not a problem. He's God. The problem of evil. He's God. Are you saying he's the author of evil? I'm saying he's God. And everything that takes place because he willed it to take place for his own glory. The lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. He is before all things, and by him all things consist. I was just thinking about this morning while I was looking over my notes. You know, the Lord said, not a sparrow falls to the ground without your heavenly Father. Now, I don't know if there's any sparrows in the islands on the South Pacific. Maybe there's some kind of bird. Of course there's some kind of bird in an uninhabited island that maybe nobody's ever been to or no people there now. A bird falls to the ground. Insignificant? No, it happened because of the will of your heavenly Father. He is in control of providence. I love that. I don't want to live in a world where God doesn't control everything, do you? But thank God, he's God. He's Almighty God. And most especially, his power is seen in the salvation of a sinner. Now, only omnipotence, that means all power, only omnipotence can cause his purpose of salvation, the purpose of the salvation of the elect, to actually take place. It takes omnipotence to cause salvation to take place. Look at the omnipotence that's involved in the incarnation of Christ. God inhabited, the infinite, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent God lived in a womb for 9 months. And the Lord Jesus Christ had the same consciousness as a fetus at that time. What power that God became man. What power is involved in the virgin birth? What power is involved? Omnipotence is involved in him keeping the law, in him doing what only God could do in the miracles he performed in this life. What power was involved in him dying? I think that is... When he died, he made my sin not to be. What power is involved in that? What power is involved in his resurrection? The scripture says, the Lord says with regard to himself, he says, I have power to lay it down, talking about his life. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it up again. He gave himself life from the dead. What power is involved in that? I think of his power in giving life to his people. I mean, it's the same power that was exerted in the resurrection of Christ is exerted in raising a dead sinner to life and giving him life. What power is involved in my preservation? The fact that I'm kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. What power is involved in me being glorified? Now unto him that's able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before his presence with exceeding glory. What power is involved in the salvation of the sinner? Now, his omnipotence actually is the ground of our faith. I think of what the Lord said to those two blind men. Do you believe that I'm able to do this? Do you believe he's able to save you without any contribution at all from you? You believe that? That's called saving faith. I know whom I've believed, And I'm persuaded that he is able. That is our faith, his ability. Not my experience, not my ability, his ability. All of our salvation is contingent upon, conditioned upon his ability. That I am God Almighty. Now, the only person who loves and believes this is the person who really believes that they are unable to do anything to save themselves. If you believe that about yourself, like the scripture says, no man can come to me. No man has the ability to come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. The carnal mind is enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. It doesn't have the ability to be. Now, if you're someone who is unable, you're unable to believe, you're unable to repent, you're unable to love, you're unable to please God, you're fraught with inability. That is the person who rejoices in the fact that God is able. I am Almighty God. I am El Shaddai. Now we can worship, we can adore, we can trust one who is Almighty. I am Almighty God. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he. That's the God we worship. Almighty God. Now, the next thing he says to Abraham after he appears as Almighty God, he says, walk before me. Walk before my face. Now, walking before him speaks of an actual relationship with the living God. Walk before me. Now, it's only as Almighty God that you can be enabled to walk before him, but still, here's the command. I am Almighty God, walk before me. The scripture says Enoch walked with God. Noah walked with God. We walk by faith and not by sight. Now, he says to Abraham, walk before me. Now, if you would look at Abraham's life, many times it appeared that he wasn't walking before God, doesn't it? Wouldn't that be said of you too and of me too? There are many times when someone would look at our walk and say, they don't appear to be walking before God. But that doesn't take away from the reality of the fact that every believer does walk before God. We read of walking before God, walking after God, walking with God and walking in God. We read of all four of those things. Now, first of all, we walk before God. We walk before God Almighty. You know what that means? I walk as his child, knowing he's Almighty. Therefore, I don't have anything to fear. He's my God. If God be for us, who can be against us? This walk before him is walking before our Almighty Father. Walking after God means we walk before him as his servant. Walking with God means we walk in communion and fellowship with him. There's a real relationship. Walking in God is walking in the Lord Jesus Christ. That means abiding in him. Where is the place we walk? In him. We walk nowhere else. We are in Him. Walk before my face and be thou perfect. Now you think of this thing of a relationship with God. Because He said, walk before me. I can walk before Him, not as a criminal, but as one justified. What a walk that is. I walk before Him as one without sin. Justified. I walk before Him not as a servant, but as a child. I'm a child of God. What a relationship that is. I'm His child. He's my father. He's my elder brother. I walk before Him as a free man, not as a slave, but as one who has been set free. I walk before Him as His bride, not on my own, but as His precious bride. What a relationship every believer enjoys. We walk before His face. Now, look what He says, and here's what I entitled this message, and I'll spend the last few moments considering this. And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Remember, it should be perfect to be accepted. Now, when God says, be ye holy, for I am holy. The only way you can be holy is if you are holy. You don't do things to become holy. When the Lord said, light be, light was. When God says, be holy, you're holy. When God says, be perfect, you're perfect. Walk before me and be ye perfect. You can only be perfect if you are perfect. Noah was said to be a just man and perfect in his generation. It was said of Job that he was a perfect man and upright, a man that feared God and eschewed evil. And this is the description of every believer. When God says, be perfect, He's speaking to one who is perfect. Perfect in Christ Jesus. Somebody says, I'm not perfect. I understand you saying that, but with regard to every believer, I am perfect. I am perfect, complete, entire, holy in Christ Jesus. Hebrews 10:14 says, by one offering, listen to this, by one offering, He hath perfected. Perfected. Forever them that are sanctified. In Christ Jesus, every believer is perfect, without blemish, without fault, sinless. This is what the Bible calls justification. Means you're perfect. Means you're without fault. Means you're perfectly righteous in His sight. Now this thing, be perfect, let me repeat this. I want you to hear it. You can only be perfect if you are perfect. You can only be holy if you are holy. And this is what every believer is in Christ Jesus. Perfect, it's just that, without blemish, without fault, sinlessness before God. If you've ever sinned, you can't be that way. Now every believer, God can say, be perfect. because they are perfect in Christ Jesus. By the which will we are sanctified once for all through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. Paul said in Colossians 1:28 that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. That is every believer. Now, what does that look like? I'm going to close by reading a passage from Matthew chapter 5. God appeared to Abraham. And the only way we'll ever know Him is if He appears to us. We're totally dependent upon revelation. He appeared to him as Almighty God. If He ever appears to you, you're going to know this about Him. He's Almighty. He's absolutely sovereign. He really is God. It's not just a term. He's God of all. God of creation, God of providence, God of salvation, God Almighty. El Shaddai. And He says to Abraham, this one who is almighty, walk before me. That speaks of the relationship every believer has with the living God. Walk before me. Isn't just some special group. This is every believer without exception. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Be entire, be sinless. Now, you know as well as I do that you're still a sinner. Isn't that so? You're still a sinner. Turn to 1 John chapter 3 for just a moment before we get into Matthew 5. I want to look at a passage in 1 John chapter 3. Verse 4. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. Now, I think it's strange how a lot of translations say whosoever habitually practices sin. They say that word commits means habitually practices. And I was talking to Lynn this morning, and I said, well, how can people ask that, say that? You don't habitually practice sin? Ain't nobody believes that. You can make that claim, but it's a lie. Everybody habitually practices sin. That's no excuse. It's wrong, but it's the fact. And I love the way he says, here it is, whoso committeth sin. It doesn't say habitually practices sin. It says just committing it. Is the transgression of the law. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins. And in him is no sin. That means if you're in him, you have no sin. Now look at verse 6. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Well, that means he doesn't habitually practice sin. That the word does not mean that means he doesn't sin. He doesn't sin. You know, somebody doesn't sin, you know what they are? They're perfect. They're perfect in Christ Jesus. Whoever abides in him does not sin. Sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him or known him. Now, who is this person that abides in him? Every believer. And every believer sinneth not. Now, it says we don't sin, and yet you know in your own experience you sin. I hope I don't have to prove that to anybody. Now, with that in mind, go to Matthew chapter 5. Verse 43. You have heard, Matthew 5, verse 43, you have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect. Same thing he said to Abraham, isn't it? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. Now this I know about perfect people. They love their enemies. They bless those that curse them. They do good to them that hate them and pray for them which despitefully use them and persecute them, that you may be children of your Father, which is in heaven. The Lord appeared to Abram. Thank God for that. And he said, I am El Shaddai, God Almighty. Nothing beyond his ability. Walk before me. This is his command. Walk before me and be ye perfect. Let's pray. Lord, how we thank you that you're El Shaddai, God Almighty. And Lord, how we thank you that you are God Almighty and that nothing is beyond your power. And Lord, how we need you as God Almighty to put away our sin and to give us a new heart. Lord, may we be perfect, even as our Heavenly Father is perfect. Lord, we be enabled to love our enemies and to pray for those that despitefully use us as your children do. O Lord, say to each person here, according to your glorious will, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And Lord, we confess perfection is in thy Son. Give us the grace, give every one of us the grace to believe on him as our perfection before you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.